Good morning, Nashville.
Good morning. This is Uprising, and we are so happy that you are with us this morning. I am joined by my co-host, David Ross.
Hello, hello. And who are you?
I'm Christy Shea Moore, and I'm...
Hi, Christy.
Hi, David. I'm the pastor at Bellevue Presbyterian Church, and David is our worship and band leader. So we're glad to be with you on our fourth episode. And we typically have a theme for each of our episodes. And so today's theme thought might give you a little hint about what it could be through a musical theme. See, this is actually a theme song with some real longevity. See if, can you cue it for us, David, and see what...
Cue the music.
People might guess.
Okay.
David, did you recognize what that was?
Yes. Hopefully most people would recognize that in the first, like, 3 seconds, maybe.
Yes. I hope so.
That's how good of a theme it is.
Yeah, David, you mentioned to me how much you enjoyed watching those movies when you were a kid, right?
Mission Impossible, the first one, was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Yeah, it's still, I think, one of the best Tom Cruise action movies. I think they're working on another one. But I watched the television series, and I also watched it in France and French. So the theme today is?
Mission.
So I thought we might start off thinking about what are some of the kind of famous mission statements that we might know. It could be.
This takes me back to like marketing class in college.
Yeah, and I didn't get any of that, so you might have more to say about some of this.
Well, it's a big part of
I was
a business or
classical Greek.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
But so I'll need your help on this.
All right, we will combine our bodies of knowledge.
Famous mission statements. Yeah,
Yeah, I got a couple.
What's one
here
that you have?
Here's Amazon's mission statement. It's our goal to be Earth's most customer-centric company, where customers can find and discover anything they might want to buy online. I like that they say Earth's. Like, that's like,
yeah,
they're literally like shooting for the stars. Facebook's mission statement, to give people the power to share and make the world more open and connected.
Oh, great.
I think they nailed that one.
Yeah, I think so.
Here's IKEA's, which is to create a better everyday life for the many people. The many people. I like that.
Of the many people. I love IKEA.
Those Swedes.
And when I lived in Paris, we had one not too far away, but they pronounce it IKEA. So I'm thrilled to when I get to go to an IKEA.
What you got?
Well, Starbucks, their mission is to inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, and one neighborhood at a time.
I like that.
I do too.
That's,
and I think
wow.
And I think that they succeed in that. It's in many ways, you know, what we would call a third place, you know, for people where neighborhoods come together. And
well, it's like they put the coffee secondary. It's like we want to improve people.
Yeah.
And how they feel about life, and then yeah, and then coffee, you know.
And it's the elixir of
genius.
Life. Well, the mission statement that always comes to my mind first is one that comes from a television series and also a movie, much like Mission Impossible. But this was one that used to play during the intro of this. It's actually a pretty big franchise. It is, most people I think will recognize this, Space.
Mm.
The Final Frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before. And then you would hear the Star Trek theme. I've been watching Star Trek for a long time in many incarnations.
It's classic.
Is he a Trekkie?
I am not a Trekkie.
That's what I figured.
No, yeah. I'm like far from it. I like Star Wars.
Which like is, Star Wars. Do you know, can you name one captain from any of the Star Trek?
Uh-huh. Captain Kirk?
Yes. He's the first. Good.
He's the first.
Yeah.
And then, what's Patrick Stewart's, it's the French name.
Yes.
Jean Picard?
Jean-Luc.
Jean-Luc
Picard. Okay. That's pretty good.
Not bad for a non-Trekkie. Good. Like, yeah. I know nothing. And then William Shatner is...
Yeah, he was the first captain. And now...
That's him.
And now he's played by Chris Pine in the movies.
Yes. Who's hilarious.
He's hilarious and just a great actor all around. So famous mission statements. Mission is something that I feel like is deeply rooted in what I believe as a Christian and what I'm about as a pastor. We are about to celebrate, actually it's today, the 50th, as you're listening to this, the 50th anniversary of my congregation, Bellevue Presbyterian Church, and we are going to be looking back at maybe some of the first worship service on this day, but we're also going to have a big celebration on the 29th, and would love to see any of you come out and join us for worship at 10:30. David and I will both be there. We'd love to see you anytime. But mm-hmm. looking at like what is the mission that God sends us on, and I think we all are called to do something, and often many things, for the world. So I want us first to turn to what is Jesus' mission, because there was a point in the New Testament, the Gospels, that Jesus, who was raised, you know, an observant Jew, and he was a rabbi, he taught often, and he spoke in the synagogue. And so in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in Nazareth, which is where he was from. And so he was the local boy made good. And he goes into the synagogue, as was his custom, we're told. He stood up and he read to them, and he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah that was handed to him. And so unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up that scroll, and he told everyone who had their eyes fastened intently upon him that today, he said, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And so what would you say, David, would be the church's mission?
Well, hopefully it's to further that mission that Jesus spoke of, where I'm actually made a list here of these words that all have something in common. He talks about the poor, the brokenhearted, captives, the blind, the oppressed. Like, and that's who he's come to lift up and to encourage us and empower us to lift up,
right?
And to reach out to people that are oppressed and are brokenhearted. And, you know, no matter who they are, no matter what walk of life they come from. And I think that's part of the church's mission, is to invite, to be a place where anybody who needs encouragement feels free to come in and find some community.
There's a section in Scripture that is called the Great Commission. And so, David, if you would look it up and share it with us.
Great Commission in the book of Matthew.
Yeah, it's Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20.
Start at 16. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
Amen. So making disciples is really the first thing that he lists. And that's about following Jesus. So you follow Jesus in what he was about, and you obey his words. And Jesus always seemed to be on the move, and interacting with people, particularly the marginalized and the oppressed. And so now we have a song about what we all can do just by going out into the world and using our own two hands.
Here's My Own Two Hands by Jack Johnson and Ben Harper.
I can change the world with my own two hands, make it a better place with my own two hands, make it a kinder place with my own two hands, with my own, with my own two hands. I can make peace on earth with my own two hands. I can clean up the earth with my own two hands. I can reach out to you with my own two hands, with my own, with my own two hands, with my own, with my own two hands. I'm gonna make it a brighter place with my own two hands. I'm gonna make it a safer place with my own two hands. I'm gonna help the human race with my own two hands, with my own, with my own two hands, with my own, with my own two hands. I can hold you my own two hands, and I can comfort you with my own two hands. But you got to use your own two hands, use your own, use your own two hands, use your own, use your own.
Again, that was Jack Johnson and Ben Harper, My Own Two Hands. And, you know, sometimes we are really blessed that we are called to do something with our own two hands that does become our career, our vocation. I'm blessed to be able to have a vocation where I do what I feel called to do. I'm taken always by the quote from a fellow pastor, Presbyterian pastor named Frederick Buechner, in his book, Wishful Thinking. He writes that vocation comes from the Latin vocare, to call, and it means the work a person is called to by God. And that the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I just love that. I do think the things that God calls us to do, whether it's a paid job that's our career, or whether it's something that we volunteer to do in our free time, it's something that fills something that is needed in the world, and it also brings great meaning to our lives. It doesn't mean that it's not hard. I find more and more that the work of a preacher is very hard in these times. And there was a quote, in fact, I just discovered this morning that I had sent on to David to look at because I was just so impressed by it. But it's by a Franciscan priest named Richard Rohr. And I have over the past few years discovered Richard Rohr, and I'm very impressed with him. But listen to this. These words from him. He said, I've often thought that there was like a secret social contract between clergy and laity. As we shake hands across the sanctuary, we agree not to tell you anything that would make you uncomfortable, and you will keep coming to our services. It is a nice deal because once the gospel is preached, I doubt if the churches would be filled. Rather, we might be out on the streets living the message. The discernment and the call to a life of service, to a life that gives itself away instead of simply protecting and procuring for itself in the name of Jesus, is what church should be about. Right now, so much church is the clergy teaching the people how to be codependent with them. It becomes job security instead of true spiritual empowerment. Remember, anyone who has not gone on journeys of powerlessness will invariably abuse power. It's very, very profound words from Richard Rohr. But our mission, and I think the mission that God calls us to, should be somehow rooted in something that does make us uncomfortable. And those are not always easy tasks, but often we only change ourselves or try to change the world when we are uncomfortable. You know, if we could all just, you know, eat cheeseburgers the rest of our lives and not gain any weight, if we could be on the cheeseburger and bacon diet, and that wouldn't cause us any problems with our body or our weight.
Some weeks I am.
Yeah, and there are definitely times like that for me too. You know, but it's often that there's something that we see what our weight is on the scale, or the doctor tells us you really need to take some pounds off. You know, that we somehow have to have something happen that makes us move, that makes us take some action, and it's usually something that's produced discomfort in us.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have some things you've been reading on, David, that also speak to mission and call and who we're to be and what we're to do?
Yeah, I need to get this book out, but it is a book called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield.
The Art of War.
Not The Art of War.
Mm-hmm.
I think he intentionally.
Yeah, it's a cool title.
It's how to break through the blocks and win your inner creative battles. And it's written for artists, but it definitely applies to, it could apply to church or the mission of a church or anybody seeking something greater that you feel called to. And he makes the distinction between like the ego and the self. And so we kind of have this ego within us that wants material things and is preoccupied with kind of just carnal instinct, like survival. It's all about consuming. And then the self, what he calls like the true self, is more aware of the non-material. And that's where the calling comes in. And the true self has a sense of God and our interconnectedness to other people. If I hurt you, it actually hurts me. So it's more aware of the non-material things. And so he's talking about the ego and the self and as it relates to our calling. And I'm just going to read this quote here. So the instinct that pulls us toward art is the impulse to evolve, to learn, to heighten and elevate our consciousness. The ego hates this because the more awake we become, the less we need the ego. The ego hates it when the awakening writer sits down at the typewriter. The ego hates it when the aspiring painter steps up before the easel. The ego hates it because it knows that these souls are awakening to a call, and that call comes from a plane nobler than the material one, and from a source deeper and more powerful than the physical.
Wow.
So that's good. Pretty deep stuff there.
Mm-hmm. But,
and again, he's really relating it to artists and musicians, and that's, you know, I consider myself that. I moved here for music, and this book has been inspiration for me. But anybody with a calling knows when you start acting on it, there's going to be forces of resistance and things that drag you down and away from it. And it's,
right.
He's calling us to stand up to it and work through it, fight through it.
And I think that's, for me, I like to think part of work as a preacher and writer, people who are working with souls is soul work, which is also about, you know, following the great artist who sends the Holy Spirit to inspire us, but that the work of discipleship is to become more like Christ. I know I was always impressed that John the Baptist, when he pointed to Jesus as the Messiah, you know, what he basically said, you know, he must increase and I must decrease. You know, again, it's that the ego, you know, must decrease. And And we have to find ourselves rooted in Christ. Our own church's mission statement is inwardly becoming like Christ and outwardly serving our neighbors. And, you know, I thought that the more we seek to follow Jesus as disciples, the more we become like him, because he put so many other people, you know, before himself, even though he had great power. He, you know, allowed himself to suffer and to even die, you know, in order to show a better way to be human and to live in this world. And we still desperately need that message today. So just like all these mission statements, David, that we have mentioned, you know, where do you think, you know, maybe we might be going personally? So have you, this week as we've been thinking about mission, do you feel like you have a call, a mission in the world?
It's something I feel like I'm in the midst of figuring out, but I definitely have like a sense of it. So like I said, like I moved here for music. I love music and I love writing as well. And so as an overall kind of mission, I think I want to inspire people with music and writing and create like meaningful relationships out of that. So not just create stuff to create stuff and become well known. I mean, I think those are good byproducts of your hard work, is to be recognized, and that's cool. But I think art like fosters relationships, because that's just the nature of it. It makes us kind of reflect on our humanity and it inspires us. And I don't know, something like that. I told you I'm still figuring that out. But
it's always prodding David about why are you doing this?
Very stream of consciousness answer.
What are you supposed to do? What are you called to? What do you want to be when you grow up? All those things.
I should just made it easy. Like, I want to be an astronaut.
You want to be an astronaut? No, you should do what Emerson did. You want to be Batman. If you could be Batman, I'd be Batman. By the way, Emerson is a recent graduate of our early education program.
I thought you were talking about like Ralph Waldo Emerson. I was like, what did he say? I want to be Batman.
You didn't know that? All the great poets.
All that wisdom.
All the great poets wanted to be Batman and the founding fathers. If the founding fathers could have been Batman, you better believe they would have been Batman.
That's too funny.
That is. If only we had hours and hours to do this.
I know. We're already running out of time. But so that was my rambling answer to mission.
Okay.
What's your mission,
Christy?
What's
my mission? You know, my mission is probably not changed in essence from, I felt called to ministry in my freshman year of college. And it has evolved, though. I think I first felt like I was called to youth ministry or children's ministry. And then I had one of my mentors in life, who was my campus minister at the time, asked me if I would preach when they went to visit churches to get support for the ministry. And so I discovered how much I enjoyed preaching. And so he and some others really encouraged me to consider seminary and go into ministry. And so, you know, I went right on after college to do that. And I've seen, you know, different muscles, you know, as far as my spiritual life and ministry have gone. Some things that I didn't feel like I was good at when I was younger, I got better at with experience. And I think now I'm very much in a place, as our church has been evolving and I've been evolving and trying to listen to, because I always believe, you know, scripture said Jesus was always up ahead of the disciples and preparing the way. And the way I have felt that the Spirit is called to the church and to me as its pastor and spiritual leader. And the best way I can characterize this is through a parable that Jesus told. And it's a short little parable. And I'm just going to paraphrase it, but it's the parable of the mustard seed. And that is really significant to me because my grandma Moore, I remember when I was very little, gave me this locket that had a mustard seed in it. And they were very, very popular at one point in the United States as gifts. And you'd see a lot of kids wearing them. And so that mustard seed, Jesus said, reminds us that if we could just have faith like a mustard seed, you wouldn't think this little seed could go on to produce what he calls a great bush. But if you really saw pictures of mustard, you know, bushes or mustard trees, they look more like trees. And so they grow up into this, you know, mighty thing from this tiny, tiny seed that is able to provide shelter to so many birds of the air and other creatures. And I see my call and mission as to be involved in something like that, that my faith and my story and the way I try to build community is so that the church could see itself as that tree that is rooted in Christ. It may grow from something very small, but it can become something mighty that gives shelter to many who need it. And we are committed to being a neighborhood center, to be a place where the last and the lost and the least find shelter and love. And so I guess that's where I feel like I am right now.
Very cool. Well, we have one last song to share with you guys, and it's a song that speaks to mission, and it is one of our favorite guys. We play his music at church sometimes. This is Jason Gray with Every Act of Love.
Sitting at the stoplight, you can't be bothered by the heart cry written on the cardboard in her hands. Oh, but when she looks him in the eye, his heart is broken open wide, and he feels the hand of God reach out through him. As heaven touches her, kingdom come, oh, 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 with every act of love. Jesus, help us carry you alive in us, your light shines through. With every act of love, we bring the kingdom come. There's silence at the table, to talk, but he's not able for all the shame that's locked in deep inside. Oh, but her words are the medicine when she says they can begin again, and forgiveness will set him free tonight. As heaven touches her, oh, 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 we bring the kingdom come. One of those doors is you. I said God put a million, million doors in the world for his love to walk through. One of those doors is you.
Again, that was Jason Gray with Every Act of Love. Well, Nashville, we are out of time, but I would leave you again with those words from Jason. God put a million doors in the world for his love to walk through, and one of those doors is you. So do good things this week, and we hope you will join us again next week as we will be gathering for Halloween, and our episode will be on faith and fear.
And we'd like to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email, NashvilleUprising@gmail.com.
Peace out.
Peace out.